a whole ass dog walk across my desk and climb up into my lap, and now he's going to try and fight with his brother. Hey, excuse me, sirs. There's your intro.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we promise we're not going to talk about the multiverse of madness until the end of the episode, and we'll give you plenty of warning to look away if you need to.
No spoilers here.
No spoilers.
I'm Karen of the multiverse.
And I'm Mandy from the Sanctum.
And
okay, so
it's a week. It's been a week.
It has.
Yeah.
It has been a week.
Lot going on. Really quickly, I want to say, as I was editing last week, I realized that I said the name of an author wrong. Uh-oh. I purchased the book The Red Palace last week, and I said it was by Jane Herr. It's actually June Herr. I tried to fix it while I was editing, but Premiere Pro was not being was not being nice to me. So just throwing that correction out there.
I love that. Not the mistake, but the correction.
I tried. I really tried to edit it in, but it did not work. So I'm just going to throw it out there now. It's much easier this way.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. I guess we'll start and then we'll get to... Oh, do we want to give them the layout of this episode? Because it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, things are going to be a little bit different because we know what it feels like to have something important to us spoiled.
Yes.
And we don't want to do that to anyone. So yeah, the layout of this episode will be a little bit different.
Yeah, so we will... So basically, essentially, we'll do the episode. Obviously, we have both seen Multiverse of Madness. Mm-hmm. Our plan is we will record that section and it will be at the very, very end of the episode. So we'll make it very clear from that point forward, it will be all multiverse spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, then you can just shut it off at that point and come back to us later.
That discussion is going to serve as our fangirl freestyle for the weekend because it's going to be long. We both have a lot of things to say. It'll be after our coupon codes, after our talks about our sponsors. Just hang tight. The episode is not ending and then we'll still tell you,
yes,
hey, spoilers are coming.
So basically, so we're going to close out the episode and then we'll come back.
Yes. And we may say our fictional person of the week is someone from the movie. That is literally all we will say. So
there
won't be any spoilers until we tell you spoilers are coming.
Yes. And the main part of the episode will be completely spoiler free.
Yes.
All right. So then we'll
That's from Multiverse, not from Moon Knight.
We're going to spoil Moon Knight. You're going to have to.
We'll give you warning too.
We'll give you warning, but you'll be on your own for skipping that. All right, so we'll start with... Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, which mine is not a boy, and I already said it last week, Wanda Maximoff. I live, breathe, and die for this woman. That is all I'm going to say.
I'm going to have to say same. How do you pick anybody else?
Yeah, you can't.
And that's just going off of the fact that Elizabeth Olsen is probably one of the most perfect human beings to walk this earth.
She is one of the most wonderful human beings in the world. And I will protect her at all costs.
I know I said it last week. And again, this is not a spoiler, but even watching the movie, just anytime I see her face, I just feel like I have to shout, like, why is she so beautiful? She's so beautiful. It hurts.
Beautiful. I freaking love her. I watched an interview with Benedict Cumberbatch on the red carpet, and I think they asked, like, how it was working with Lizzie Olsen, and he was just like, she is everything. She is, like, everything, the superlative, like, wonderful person, wonderful actress, all of these great things, and I was just like, it's really nice to know that she's just as wonderful in real life as I make her up to be in my head.
As you'd expect her to be.
Yeah. All right. Next up is This Week in Fangirling. Obviously, we watch Multiverse of Madness, like, at the same time.
We're not going to talk about Bruno right now. Yeah, that was really
weird. I loved that. Because usually you see things before me, and so you have to wait to talk to me. Well, this time we watched at the same time, and then I'm sitting here like, I can't talk to Mandy about it because we have to record about it later. But she got to talk to Josh about it, so I'm sitting here stewing.
I know, I did.
And then Anna ended up watching it, I think... I want to say like Friday or Saturday. And I was like, you need to text me immediately afterwards because I literally have nobody to talk to about it. I can't talk to Mandy about it until Monday. And we saw it so on Thursday.
Rude. Yeah, it's been a while. And I've been stewing.
I've been adding notes constantly to my list. I just keep thinking of new things. It's insane. What else? On top of that, I finished reading Foul Lady Fortune and I am obsessed and I need the next book right now. And
that is very, the curse of an art.
I'm so, because, yeah, it is, because this book doesn't officially come out until September, late September. And then you have to wait longer
than the people who will read it when it comes out. Yes. Yeah, that's the curse. That's what sucked about Scars was, and all of the Oakrith books that I've gotten as art.
Yep.
You don't have anybody to talk to.
It's miserable. I am just like, and I'm going to use this opportunity to mention that we have officially launched a blog on our website.
Yeah.
For like longer reviews and stuff that we can't get to in episodes because we don't want to be sitting here talking for 3 hours and bothering you guys. So you have the option to go to the website and then read any reviews that we might not have talked about on the show. Yeah, bonus contest. And this is free bonus content. You can all, anybody can just go and read what we wrote. So yeah.
Yay.
So I gave most of my thoughts on that. I will say this book is, I found out this book is I think it's As You Like It is a Shakespeare play. As You Like It retelling.
Oh, I like that she does that.
Yeah. So her first one was Romeo and Juliet. Cool. This one is As You Like It. And then I was watching her TikTok and she did a really funny one where it was like, when you make your whole niche like Shakespeare retellings and then you're just like, I'm gonna run out of material.
Well, then but she can move on to Sherlock or something.
I know. But I just thought it was really funny. And she's, you know, I just found out she's like 23.
Dang.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm massively impressed with her because these books are really great. So
I feel that way about Christopher Paolini too, because he wrote most of Aragorn when he was like a literal child. And Aragorn is epic. So it's like, okay, well, what's the rest of us supposed to do when you're being a genius author in your teenage years, early 20s? You're just writing all these bangers. Our books are gonna do the same thing.
It's just gonna be a little later in life.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's no timeline for that.
We needed our journeys to get perfect books for us out.
Dude, really did though. Really, really did. All right, and the last thing I have written down for my fangirling week is Moon Knight. So I guess now is time for spoilers for Moon Knight.
Spoilers for Moon Knight.
I guess the whole series at this point, because episode 6 is the episode. Although everything that I've written
note for this.
Oh, really? I have a whole bunch.
Well, it's the all encompassing thing for me, I think.
Okay.
I think in my mind, I have figured out why Steven and Jake exist.
Okay.
Specifically. Okay. That was a spoiler, but we've already given you the warning.
We've already given you a spoiler alert. So
that Jake is here.
Yeah. Well, so I, it's not so much things to talk about. It's just my reactions, essentially, is what I wrote down. I will say, however, Layla was a fucking badass.
Yeah, she was. I freaking die for her costume.
I loved it. And that moment when the little girl was like, are you an Egyptian superhero? I died.
Yes.
I didn't
even have to think about it. I screamed at the TV. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, you are.
Hell yes, you are. I died in that moment. I didn't need anything else. It was amazing. I loved it so much. And Towerit was just perfection. She's so funny. I love her. I hope she sticks around. Like, I hope Layla stays her avatar and she sticks around. But who knows?
They confirmed that Moon Knight was supposed to just be a standalone limited series. It's not.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
How did I see that? But you didn't. Yeah.
I have no idea. Probably because I was trying to avoid social media to avoid any multiverse leaks. So
they did say, I think, I can't recall his name off the top of my head, but one of the directors, I think, I read this today, said that there's a cut scene and he didn't really specifically, oh yes, he did say what it was. There's a cut scene where Oscar Isaac as Steven confronts their mother and he said, I hope that Disney releases it because it is Oscar worthy. I mean, not that Moon Knight could win an Oscar, but he was like, it was one of the most chilling, beautiful things I have ever seen, and that man deserves every accolade he could get for it. So I hope they release that so we can see
it. I do too, but where would that have fit in?
It doesn't, and that's why. I guess when they were in the asylum,
oh, okay,
running around into different rooms, he could have run into one after he learned about her.
Okay, that makes sense. And
realized that the mother he thought he was calling didn't exist.
That makes sense, yeah. Because I was thinking, I'm like, she's dead, so there's no opportunity for him to actually, like, confront her.
Right.
So that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I want to know, I wrote down, were Khonshu and Amit lovers? Because their interaction feels like they might have been at some point. I don't know Egyptian mythology as much as I do Greek mythology, and I didn't look this
same.
Up. I wrote it down.
I read some of the, I think it's the Kane Chronicles or the Rick Riordan books that that deal with Egyptian mythology, but I was like probably 18, and I only read a few of them, and I don't think the rest were out yet, and it fell off, so it's like 15 years ago knowledge that I don't have anymore. Like, the names all were like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And after that,
I remember seeing those, but yeah, I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
I wrote down, I don't know what this is referring to. I wrote down, wait, we can really manifest things. And I'm really confused as to what that was referring to.
But I guess manifesting, like throwing the doors away and go running right back into the sea of sand.
Maybe. I don't know. Right after that, I wrote, Confident Steven is my fave, which is really true. Confident Steven, I loved it. I loved Steven's confidence after Mark came back, and Mark coming back for Steven.
Like, I know.
He literally left heaven to go back for Steven.
I know.
My heart. It made me so happy.
Can we talk about how annoyed I am at the spelling of his name?
Yes, please, because I love it. It bothers me so much.
I text Karen something. I think it was in episode 5.
I have no idea, but you said something about...
And I was like, Steven, and I spelled it P-H. And she was like, he is S-T-E-V-E-N. And I'm like, I absolutely hate that. He's an alter with an English accent
and
living in London, and he doesn't have the traditional English spelling of Steven. And then this heifer... I don't know if I'll ever forgive you for this. Points out that Stephen Strange, American doctor, has a PH, Stephen. They are backwards. I will never be happy with this. I would like to poke somebody who did this.
I think the funniest part.
Like, how dare you?
I think the funniest part, other than the fact that they're switched with their like normal spellings, is that we've got a British actor with the British spelling playing American, and an American actor with the American spelling playing British.
Hate it. It cracks me up so much.
It makes me angry. So much.
Listen, before I ended up switching to business because I couldn't leave, like, the job that I'm in, it was just like, it'd be silly to leave. It'd be financially irresponsible to leave. I was an English major. Okay. Words are important. Spellings are important. Staying true to,
I think,
you know,
however,
I think
it's on purpose though, because, well, okay, first of all, apparently Stephen Grant in the comics is not British. It was Oscar Isaac's idea to make him British, but I think you can make an argument, and they probably didn't do this on purpose, but I think you can make the argument that because Stephen is actually like Mark, who didn't grow up British, then,
right.
And you know, so
don't
it's like,
come at me with your logic. I hate it.
Liar. You're a Ravenclaw.
That's why. Because I have just as much logic for, no, he's supposed to be a British alter, though, in the show, whether or not what the comics are. Same with Doctor Strange comics. I don't care what the comics say. I hate it.
Anyways,
that's my little rant.
That's your little rant. Okay, hold on. How can he fly? I just
assumed it was part of the Moon Knight aura.
It didn't make sense to me. I literally wrote down, he can just fly now?
Does he like take off flying, or does he like jump from a tall place and coast fly? Because now I can't remember. Because
it seems like he's coasting, but it's across a huge distance. Like, he literally would have hit the ground at some point.
I mean, I guess
it was weird.
You probably at some point have seen Captain America do it,
but not like literally flying.
I don't know. I just assume that it's something with the avatar,
maybe,
or power that comes from the Egyptian gods.
I loved Layla just straight up being like, I love her existing, but she straight up just refused an Egyptian god. She's just like, no, sir, I will do this. And then what did I write? Hold on. I lost myself.
Ethan Hawke is still creepy forever.
Yeah, I was just about to get to an Ethan Hawke thing. Yeah. I wrote down, okay, you mean to tell me that old man with glass in his shoes can fight?
Yeah.
Come on. Right. No. I refuse to believe that. Mm-hmm. The transitions between Steven and Mark as like Moon Knight, Mr. Knight were so good. They were
I know.
So good. They love each other. They trust each other. And it made me so happy.
Yep.
So, so happy. And then at the very end, I wrote down, if there's no Jake in the post credits, the fandom is going to riot.
Yeah.
And then there he was.
And there he was. And that leads to my singular note. I think that Steven is who Mark wants to be. Mm-hmm. Jake is who he would have become had he let his rage win completely. I think that they are both iterations of who he could have, this is how I want to be. And had I let my mother win, mm-hmm. this is who I would be. And he's in the middle. And so he has, his alters are different versions of himself based on a traumatic life.
Yeah.
His mind created Steven as solace. Mm-hmm. His mind created Jake as the rage and the fire and the fury.
I feel about similarly. I think of it as Steven is everything that is good in Mark personified. Mm-hmm. And then Jake is everything that's bad. So about the mm-hmm. same thing. They're two parts of Mark that kind of just split off and went extreme differences.
Can't you sit in the back of that limousine though?
And the license plate.
I was like, I will die if this is it. If this is all that they're going to give us. Because I think somebody was like, where's the petition?
There has to be more because I feel like he's such a fan favorite already. Like why wouldn't they capitalize on that? Like if not with a season two, at least use him in future projects, you know?
Now he's beloved. You can't just drop Moon Knight and then walk away from it.
Especially when you leave it on kind of a cliffhanger like the end.
Yeah, when Jake comes out, which everybody's been looking for.
Yeah, so it's like, there's no way. He's going to come back at some point in something or other.
He's got
Maybe, you know, there's the Black Panther 2 and then there's the Wakanda series and they're related.
Well, also, I always mess it up. Kit Harington is going to be the Black Knight. Is that right?
Yes.
So maybe, and he's in London, I believe, right? That's where he and Cersei were living.
Yeah.
So it could be that whatever's coming for the Black Knight, Moon Knight could also make an appearance if he goes back from Egypt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is. He's in London now at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
face plants.
I remember he's in his bed.
He's in his bed. Yeah. They're both there. He just face plants.
So yeah.
Yeah. They're back in London. I think that's one of the things.
There could be a brotherhood.
I think that was one of the things from the beginning of the series when it first started, where it was like, well, Moon Knight is more on like the supernatural side of the MCU, as is Black Knight and Blade, mm-hmm. and they're both in, you know, London. Yeah. So
they could have some sort of Avenger style group upcoming.
There's a name for it. They have a group.
It's not the Brotherhood of the Knights or something, like the Round Table. I mean, come on.
They do have something. I just forget what it's called. I've seen this in like Marvel creators talking about it in the comics.
I'm gonna Google it.
But yeah, I have no more notes. I really enjoyed this series.
I don't either.
I really enjoyed this series and I hope they bring him back for more.
Oh, Ghost Rider 2, apparently.
Yes, Ghost Rider 2. What is the name of the group though?
What is their club? What's the club? Daredevil and Punisher are here.
Okay.
Doesn't say.
Interesting.
Let me Google it again.
After you've Googled it?
What's their secret club name?
What's the secret club name of...
Dark Avengers?
Oh, no. Isn't the Dark Avengers, what's her name? Julia Louis-Dreyfus? What's her character? Oh, Valentina? Contessa's group.
Yeah.
The Dark Avengers? Isn't that her group where she gets all, like, the evil versions of the OG Avengers? Evil, quote-unquote.
I don't know. If you know this, tell us.
Yeah.
I think it's just saying a Dark Avengers, not as an official name, but it's like more edgy style. Okay. Avengers, now that I'm looking at this, but trying to read through this is...
Well, I'm sure I'll figure it out after we stop recording.
The Midnight Suns?
Yes!
The Midnight Suns.
That's it.
There we go.
There we go.
Took it a minute.
I was like, I know there's a name. Yes. So maybe
and
they'll do
that. All of those names fit. Moon Knight, Black Knight, Ghost Rider, Blade. Those are all like maybe not Blade, but like Dark.
I'm interested to see Blade. I never watched the original movies. That they're on my list.
I didn't
because just Marvel, and I never watched the original Ghost Rider either. But
oh my god, wait a second.
That was Nick Cage.
Is it Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate his stupid face. My husband hates me for hating his stupid face. Anyways,
all right. Well, there's another rant
for you.
That's my whole week. That's all I did. Those three things.
I mean, I did
other things, but just smaller. So not worth talking about.
Well, my one thing my other thing other than Moon Knight and Multiverse was my tea party.
Oh yeah.
So my sweet husband booked tells me like 3 days before it's happened. Oh, by the way, I booked you a tea party it's called Dr. Bombay's Underwater Tea Party in Atlanta, in Candler Park outside of Atlanta. And he's like, it's Saturday. We know we're going to bring whoever you want who can go. I know it's short notice, but here we go. So since it was the day before Mother's Day, my nieces are with me. So they went, Josh went, my mom, my grandma, and my friend Ashley all went. And we just rode up there. We had like our own entrance, and we had this whole room that was just lined wall to wall books. There were like lampshades and umbrellas and all kinds of things hanging from the ceiling. I'll post pictures on our Instagram of that. We had a little private like patio, and they just brought us like little tiered trays that had there's broccoli and cheese quiche. I know I already told you these, but this is for the listeners, because Karen was like, I need to know about the food. I need
all the details.
So there was broccoli and cheddar quiche. There was these little tiny pimento cheese sandwiches and egg salad sandwiches, a chocolate chip scone with strawberry jam and clotted cream, two kinds of cupcakes. There was brownies. It was just so good. And then we had an English breakfast, which is great because it's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Then we had hibiscus tea and a jasmine tea with all of the, you know, sugar cubes and cream and all of the fixins. And it was just so nice. We had it for a couple of hours, and we just sat and we sipped our tea and we talked. All of the books were $1. So I got two little books I'll show later.
That's it.
So I'm trying to be more careful. And a lot of the books weren't books that I would necessarily read. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one who got books though. So it was very sweet. We all dressed up, and something that you don't do every day. We did have to ask, because the place, like I said, is called Dr. Bombay's Underwater Tea Party. Mm-hmm. So when he told me about it, I was like, first thought was, okay, it's at the Georgia Aquarium. They've set up a room mm-hmm. in the aquarium. Well, it's not. It's at just like this cute little tea shop. And so they called on Friday to verify our head count. And the girl, he was home already from work. And the girl, he had her on speaker. And she's like, do you have any questions for us? And she's asking like, where do we park? He's like, yeah, what's the deal with the underwater tea party? And she said, when our founder was a kid, she played underwater tea party in her pool. So when she grew up to open a tea shop, she named it the Underwater Tea Party. And it was oh my God, I did that.
I love that.
Yeah. It was like, of course it's Underwater Tea Party.
That's amazing.
Of course.
That's awesome. I love that so much. I love a good tea party.
I do too. And then we went to Trader Joe's, which was like 5 minutes away from there, and chopped our little hearts out and came home. And it was just a really nice day. It was a really nice day. And then the next day we went to brunch. We had a very nice, sweet little brunch at one of my favorite spots downtown. And then they had a dessert bar upstairs that you could go. And it was just like a slew of desserts. There was
more
scones and, you know, berry tart and cookies and macarons and insane. It was a very good food weekend for me.
I was going to say, you had the best Mother's Day weekend.
I really did.
You were the best non-mom mom out there.
Yep. Luckiest.
Luckiest the non-mom luckiest. Mom. Yeah. You had a good weekend. I love it.
I did.
Meanwhile, I was a potato in bed all day Mother's
That's
Day.
That's the it
was
best great. Kind of day too, though.
It was great. My daughter like was really chill, and that was really nice. So yay.
She was like, I'm going to be chill for you for Mother's Day.
I know. That's the only time she's ever done it.
At least she did it on Mother's Day.
She's just so much energy. Anyways.
We got a new doctor.
Yes.
As much as I was hoping for Rupert Grint, like, I am thrilled because this is a historic moment.
Shooty got, well, I feel like I need to go and watch all of Sex Education now, because that's what everybody keeps saying.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
everybody was like, Shurigatwa from Sex Education. And I'm like, well, I'm about to go binge all of that right now because I need to know about my new doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm pumped.
I woke up to the news and I follow Theories by T on TikTok and Instagram. And his reactions were everything. Everything. Because he's a black man and he's British. And so obviously it's a big deal. And I was just like, his reactions were everything. That's all I needed to know. But can we just, and I think I tweeted from our Twitter account. I was like, listen, I know we were rooting for Rupert Grint because eventually we're going to need a ginger, but I am so hyped for this news.
Yeah.
We've got this. We have a black Captain America. We have a black doctor. Just keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Yes.
Like, I want, this is the black renaissance and I am here for it. I am here for it. I love it.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to preface this by saying this is a complete and utter joke and do not take me seriously, but how dare they do this during AAPI Heritage Month?
True.
You had your own month.
Fair.
But I say that in complete jest. I am so excited. So excited. I saw a book talker was getting ready to do a video about Holly Black's new book. And as he's recording, right? So as he's recording, like something pops up on his phone and it's
Easy Cat.
Yeah. And I saw that gave me all the serotonin. He's like,
Hold on. Do we have a new doctor?
It was so amazing. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. This is like, oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
Amazing.
I'm so excited. Apparently people saw it and freaked out about it. I woke up to the news, so people had known for several hours. And so I was coming to it late and I was like, wait, what, guys? I need to catch up.
Doctor!
This is so exciting. I'm here for it. It is like a black renaissance. I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more. Let's do
all of them.
All of it. Give it to me now. Everything.
I need some more black Disney princesses.
Hell yeah. And ones that aren't like an animal for 90% of their film.
Yeah.
Would be nice. Yeah. But yeah, I hear you. Well, we're getting The Little Mermaid next year.
That is, I feel like it's taking forever. I feel like they announced that like 10 years ago.
I know.
I don't know why it feels like it's been that long. Maybe COVID delayed things, but it's coming.
I'm so excited.
Hurry.
All right. So we've got a black doctor, black Captain America, black Ariel. Oh, Annabeth Chase from Percy Jackson is going black.
I love that. Technically, it's the story who must not be named, but I believe the actress in the original run of Cursed Child was for Hermione was black too.
Yes.
Because in the books it never discusses Hermione's skin color.
That's true.
So
people lost their minds
ever,
over that. I don't care.
Where'd your money go this week?
Where did my money go this week? Everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a box of stuff sitting next to me, so I'm going to try and go through it real quick.
Okay.
The Night the Stars Fell, hardcover edition.
Woo-hoo!
It's so pretty. Mm-hmm. I got Some Mistakes Were Made by Kristen Dwyer, which is basically like my life motto. Heather is convinced that it's me on the cover. She's like, I will accept no other answer. I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. I finally got Iron Widow by Xiaodan J. Zhao. That was hard for me to say. this I'm really excited for. First of all, it's really pretty, but also beautiful. This author, so they use they them pronouns, and they made a like promise to a friend like 7 years ago that if they ever got published, they would wear a cow onesie in their author photo.
I love it.
It makes me so happy. I want to be their best friend. And their TikTok is like amazing. I love them. And then I got Prince of Shadows, which I didn't buy, but Amber did a giveaway on her TikTok because she accidentally had two copies and I won. And so she sent this to me and it came today, yesterday, this week. And then I got yet another copy of An Arrow to the Moon, but it's a paperback copy. It's UK edition. It's got sprayed edges and it's from Fairyland. I got Spider-Man No Way Home on Blu-ray, the Target edition, because I like the special stuff. I got my next novelty chest box. Wow, that was hard. The book this month was Hotel Magnifique, and then the sprayed edges are purple.
Ooh.
It's very pretty. It comes with an author letter and then a book plate, which I already put in the book, signed book plate. And then this month we get four teas. And so they're all labeled for, it says brew while reading, and then chapter four and whatever other chapters. And there's a sticky note at the start of that chapter for you to remember to brew your tea. So soon as I finish my other ones, I will get to this one. I feel like this is going to be my Once Upon a Book Club, where I just get a whole bunch of stuff. And then I got this amazing lounge fly. It's Agatha and Wanda, and it's just so, I think it's a little bit bigger than the like regular lounge flies, but I love it so much. It's so pretty.
It's gorgeous.
And then I have the matching wallet that is coming soon. For some reason, they released separately. Who knew?
Interesting.
Yeah, right?
Very, very interesting.
And then as far as what I ordered this week, I ordered, so here comes the nerd. Our sponsor, who we love, ran a one-day flash sale and pre-order for May the 4th, so I ordered that. And also, the Pokemon round dropped on Friday, so that was a whole lot of pins coming my way.
A lot of the things.
A lot of things. And Funko released yet another Marvel pop and comic cover combo. And this time it is Elektra as Daredevil. And it's so badass. I'm very excited about this. I love it. I ordered a Marvel Spirit jersey from Shop Disney, as well as the Hawkeye Magic Band. And yes, if you're wondering, I do go to Disneyland. No, we don't have magic bands, but my husband is on it, so obviously I would need to buy it. I pre-ordered a book called Hattie Harmony, Worry Detective, which was written by Elizabeth Olsen and her husband, Robbie Arnett. And it's so cute. I'm very excited about it. I'm probably also going to order the audiobook at some point because they narrate it as well.
And no.
Who wouldn't want to hear their beautiful voices just reading you a lovely kid's story? I'm obsessed.
Agreed.
I also finally gave in and ordered a Kindle.
Yes, finally.
It's Mandy's fault. After I spent a whole bunch of money. She's not sorry at all.
Not sorry.
So I finally ordered a Kindle. And oh, I forgot to mention, I got a whole bunch of comic books. Free Comic Book Day was on Saturday. So we went to our local comic book store and we got some of the three comics. And then I ended up buying a bunch of like other comics. But I put them all over there and I forgot to bring them over. But I got like a Scarlet Witch omnibus, a couple Hawkeye, Shang-Chi, Silk from the Spider-Verse, because we stan an Asian superhero. I forget what else. But yeah, there was a lot. It was a big old stack. And I'm like, I really shouldn't be getting back into comic books. But here I am getting back into comic books. And then finally, somebody on Facebook was selling like five books in the Shatter Me series for like $15. And I was like,
Warner.
Well, I have to. Mandy would like murder me if I didn't take this opportunity to get them. So those are on the way.
The first couple books you're gonna be like, what are you talking about? But just stay with
I am missing a couple. Like she didn't include any of the novellas. Well, she said she found
they're
one
on Kindle.
Yeah, she said she found one. She's like, cool. I sent that along for free, and I was like, oh, that's sweet. But so yeah, I'll end up reading them all. But for like $15 plus shipping, like I can't beat that.
I got them for Christmas. Josh got me like the box set of like, nice. There's still a few that weren't in it, and I read them in like a few days.
Oh, you
like
did?
Like all of them. Because I could not put them down.
I remember. Yeah.
They get really heavy, so be prepared for that. They get emotionally heavy.
Well, I am I'm always prepared for emotional damage. That is my default. So, all right. That is all of my money. It's all. That's
all right.
I hope.
I did more shopping for my house, Josh, the other day. We're sitting outside. We're eating at a Mexican restaurant across the street from our movie theater. Waiting for a multiverse, and he's like, I need an inversion table, my back is killing me, you should order this. I'm like, what are you gonna do, hang around upside down like a bat? And he was like, yeah. I was like, you're gonna be like Oscar on The Office and you're just gonna pass out. And he was like, well, I'll pass out and it'll make my back feel better. So I ordered an inversion table. That's on the way.
Oh my gosh.
I will send all the pictures because he and the twins are both just like, we're gonna use said it's gonna be great.
I love that. I love how he was like, you should order this. Like, he couldn't do it himself.
I know. We do that to each other a lot. Like, you buy me this? I did a thing. It was a thing on Facebook a while back. I meant it as like a joke where it was like, if your spouse doesn't comment on this in 20 minutes, they have to buy you a Bissell Crosswave, just like the vacuum mop combo.
Yeah.
And like half an hour later, he posted a screenshot of the purchase of a Crosswave. So I was like, hey. We just do that. You buy me this? Even though, we could totally buy it ourselves.
Yeah, but no,
it's more meaningful when it's a gift, Karen.
Is it a gift if he like asked for it though? Does it count?
I mean,
no, I love it.
I did not get a gift receipt. I should have sent it with a gift receipt.
You should have sent it as a gift.
Yeah.
To the house.
He doesn't mean to do it, but like I just keep a running Amazon wish list because for me it's the easiest place to organize books that I want to get.
Yeah.
So if I'm out, I'm like, well, let me add it to my Amazon list. Well, then he'll go and he's like, you know, if he's ordering a few things and he wants to, you know, make it worth his while, or oh, I want to get up to this amount so that I can blah.
Yeah.
He'll just add some gifts. He'll add some from my wish list. But if you add it from the wish list, it automatically sends with a gift receipt.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a ton of books on these shelves because every time they come with a gift receipt, I tuck it into the pages. So like there's plenty of gift receipts behind me that I haven't even gotten to yet.
I love that. That's so funny.
Yeah. I've always joked.
I think I accidentally did that to myself.
Yeah.
Like I ordered something from my wish list and it came with a gift receipt. I was like, past Karen sent me a gift.
Somebody else said that they like write themselves notes. Somebody I follow on TikTok. I can't remember who, but they were like, I hope you're having a good day. You're rocking you know, this life. Yeah, I like that.
That's cute.
I've always joked since
I tend to forget things. So
yeah, I've always said that like when I die, like I don't have a sad funeral. That sucks. Like everybody comes and gets a book. Mm-hmm. And so some people are going to get a book and find a gift receipt from, it's very generic. He doesn't write anything, but he'll be like, enjoy your gift from Joshua.
Could you imagine if it was one of like, if it was one of the ones where you did it to yourself and you stuck it in and then somebody gets that, they're like, enjoy your gift from Mandy. Like, hold on, what?
Hold on, wait a second. What? Did you know I was going to get this one?
Yeah. I love that. That's so funny.
So on top of the inversion table and like, and I spent way too much money at Trader Joe's and Bath and Body Works yesterday. I went into Bath and Body Works and I should not have, but I got a Facebook sale too. A friend of ours was selling the three Girls of the Paper and Fire books. The first one, these are all by Natasha. I don't know. You're going to have to help me, Karen. I don't know how to pronounce. Nan.
Natasha Nong.
The first one, it was from Owlcrate. So it came with a letter.
Oh, cute.
And signed.
Yay.
And then the other two did not come signed, but I don't know if she got them all together or what.
Yeah.
But have you ever noticed that James Patterson does like everything in the literary world? Pay attention. When you go in a bookstore, these are all James Patterson Presents books.
I love that.
Kingdom of the Wicked is James Patterson Presents. Stalking Jack the Ripper.
There was one where it was like, I think it was like a kid's book or a middle grade book. And I was like,
Then it's Jimmy Patterson. I think on the middle grade book, they call him Jimmy Patterson, but he's everywhere. I'm telling you.
Okay. So that's really extra funny because as you know, I've been binging Castle and Richard Castle is like a famous author, like a mystery author in that world, and he's like friends with James Patterson and whatnot, so they like randomly they'll have like random authors come through for to give advice or whatnot. So I was just like, that's so funny.
He's everywhere. I'm telling you, once you realize that, anytime you go in a bookstore, you're like, he really is everywhere.
That is so funny. I love that.
So this next book I got, so for Mother's Day for my mom and grandmother, like they're big readers too, so I wanted to do like books that they would enjoy but books we could also talk about.
Okay.
So I got them one book I've read, one book that I have, and then one book that I ordered all three of us.
Okay.
So the book that I have that I have read is called In Another Light by AJ Banner.
Okay.
And it was in a Once Upon a Book Club box. It's about a woman who's a mortician, and she goes to embalm a body one day, and the person on the table who's dead is like her doppelganger.
Ooh.
So she's trying to find out, like, it's very mysterious circumstances. And so she's trying to find out like more about this woman.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because my mom and grandmother are not fantasy readers. They are like Stephen King, horror, mystery, creepy.
Okay.
So I got them that. Then I got them The Sanatorium by Sarah Pierce,
okay,
which is like, I haven't read it yet. I got it for like Halloween season, where it takes place in like an old sanatorium, and I think it's like a ghost story.
Okay.
And then I got All Three of Us, The Paris Library by Janet Skezlin Charles. I'm sorry if I butchered her middle name.
I almost bought that.
Yeah, I just saw it. Nazis are invading Paris, and the librarians join the resistance to save the books and yeah.
Have you ever noticed that a lot of historical fiction is World War II?
Yeah. I think because it's fresh enough that we know the history of it without being too fresh that it's painful to a lot of people still living, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never really thought about why.
I never thought about it, but yeah, it's interesting.
I never really thought about why.
I want to say your gifts to your mom and grandma reminded me of a TikTok that I saw, and I don't know if you've already seen it, but it's a bookseller in England who was talking about, there was a couple who was at the bookstore on a date, and they were going to, their mission on this date was to buy 3 books. So one is a book that like explains who they are, something that they love, explains who they are as a person. The second one is a book that they think the other person would really like. So like kind of gives you an idea of what they think of you. And then the third is a book for them to read together.
My heart.
And I was like, listen, people of the world, this is how to win my heart.
Yes. I did not marry a reader. The last thing he read. No, I married a musician.
That's
I
did not true. Marry a That's ghost true. You either. Married a musician.
I married the singer, the screamer, front man for a metal band. Then he got into ghost hunting, and it was like, I married a musician. Right. I don't know. And then I married a non-reader. The last books he read were probably 5 or 6 years ago. I lost my mind because he said he'd never fully finished all of the Harry Potter books. And I was like, we're going to have to put this whole thing on pause. And I got the audiobooks, and I set him up, and he just listened to the audiobooks at work and while he was driving. And so I think the last like actual books he read start to finish were Harry Potter. And that's probably been like 5 or 6 years. Wow. He just doesn't, I don't understand how you don't love it, but he doesn't. So he just has to listen to me about books.
And he's like, why do I need to read books when you're going to tell me all about them?
Yeah,
anyways?
You're just going to tell me anyways.
Why do I need to read them?
Yeah.
I love that.
So I got 2 kids books when I went to the tea party.
Yay.
I got Monster Blood Goosebumps because Josh said that it was his favorite Goosebumps book when he was a kid. And it was $1.
Cute. So I love that.
I got Monster Blood. And then I saw this book from this side. Okay.
Okay.
And I was like, Josh, pull that book out and tell me if it's got a duck or a chicken or something on it, because it's called Flipped.
Okay.
It does. My sister used to have this book, and my sister's not a reader either, but I think that she like read and loved this when we were teenagers. And so I was like, I know I've read it. I have no memory of it, of what it is about, but for $1.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it.
I love that. That's so funny that you were just like, is it this? Is this the cover?
I was like, there's a duck, there's a chicken, there's some kind of bird on that. It's a little upside down baby chick.
I love that. That's so funny.
And then after our brunch and desserts yesterday, we went to Barnes & Noble, and we went to GameStop and Hot Topic and other places. I didn't buy anything, but I did get suckered by the buy one, get one 50% off paperbacks.
It happens.
So I picked up All Our Hidden Gifts because the cover is beautiful. It's by Caroline O'Donohue. Wow. It's about a girl who finds an old tarot deck and starts giving, like, she thinks she's just going to screw around, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can do a reading for you.
Yeah.
And ends up giving, like, scarily accurate readings.
Ooh.
Until she gives one, and I think a girl ends up like injured or she disappears. I'm sorry. So she does a reading and then the girl disappears. And so everybody's kind of looking at her and they're trying to figure out what happened to the girl who's gone missing. Mm-hmm. Seemed pretty cool.
Okay.
And then since it was buy one, get one half off, I grabbed up this one at the register. It's called Birds of California by Katie Kotungo.
I almost bought that too.
I just got it because it was pretty.
It's pretty. It was on a table at the front of my Barnes and Noble when I went in, and I almost got it.
Because it's their, one of their monthly picks. So yeah. It's about people who play brother and sister on TV, but are not brother and sister.
I see.
Anyways,
that's
my shopping this week.
Awesome. All right, yeah. So next. What are you into? anticipating?
I'm anticipating the grimoire tea I just ordered an hour ago. Getting here, I got Pog Juice and You Are Magic teas.
Yum.
I made, this is kind of a sidetrack, but this is just like a nod to our friend Sam at Grimoire Teas. I made some of the Surreal's Tea House tea. Mm-hmm. Night before last. I don't know if you ordered that. If you did not, and it comes back. Okay, good. It's a butterfly pea flower. It is so
it's color changing then, yeah?
Yeah.
That's yeah.
So it starts out. I took a video. I need to do one like in daylight. It was
yeah.
It was like pitch dark outside, and I put it in a white mug, but it was very dark blue. Uh-huh. And then when I put a little bit of lemon juice in it, we could see visually, but the camera really didn't pick it up mm-hmm. that it turned purple.
I love that.
It was really cool and delicious.
Potions class does that too, and I love it.
Yeah.
I have, yeah. Okay, so I'll be real. When Sam has new teas, I just send her a list of things I need, and she invoices me. And so then I'm like, I'm just always waiting on tea.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing how much tea I have. There was one time Mandy sent me, I think you sent me a video or a picture of your tea drawer, and I was like, hold on, let me raise you. I see your drawer. Let me raise you. And I like ran around my
crates,
house.
My cases. You got a whole warehouse.
I could start my own tea shop with the amount of tea that I have.
I know. Now my drawer is full and I've ordered more tea.
Yes, you have to drink faster.
I don't know what to do with that. I don't think I'm anticipating anything too insane right now.
I have two books are coming out next week that I've pre-ordered. From Bad to Cursed by Lana Harper, I want to say. It's the second book in the Witches of Thistle Grove, which is the first book is Payback's a Witch. So it's the second book in that series. So I'm excited about that. And then also on the same day, We Were Dreamers by Simu Liu is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And on the 22nd, which is not this upcoming Sunday, but the following Sunday, he is going to be in San Francisco doing a meet and greet book signing and a book talk. And I have tickets to the book signing. So I'm really excited about that because they're like, it's a meet and greet. So you're going to get your book signed and you get to have a picture, and I'm just like,
that's cool.
I'm gonna prepare to make a fool of myself in
if
front of
your child is asleep. So help me God.
So help me God, I will disown her.
She is asleep in that photo. Don't mail her to me.
I will.
You're gonna have to find another auntie.
So Mandy says this because every time it seems that we do meet and greets with celebrities. So my daughter goes everywhere with me. Other than work, she basically just goes everywhere with me because we have codependency issues. And by we, I mean I do. I have codependency issues. and so when we go to Comic Cons and we've had like photo ops in the past, she's been asleep for like almost every single one of them in the pictures. Mm-hmm. The only ones that she's been awake for were... which is really interesting because they were like the earliest ones, like in the day, was we met Norman Reedus and Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Christian Kane. And those are the only ones that like I recall her being awake. I think David Tennant actually like looked at her and he was like, oh, she's asleep. What was she? She had her iPad on her little, she was in her stroller. The iPad was on there. And he was like, what was she watching? And we were like, I forget who I was with at the time, and we were just like, oh, she's watching Doctor Who, obviously. I mean, you know, Broadchurch is a little mature for her, so it's just Doctor Who. Yeah. And he was such a good sport about it.
Oh,
but
I love him. That man's a treasure.
He is.
But she's asleep for Simo.
No, she won't. She can't. She can't. To be fair, those were like later in the day after we had been out for a while. So since this is at like 11 a.m. and we'll probably get there like just a little bit before that. So she'll probably be wide awake.
Yeah, she'll be
fine. It'll be fine. Otherwise, I will just toss her to the side. It's just going to be me and him. Be like, hi.
There you go.
Don't mind her. She's just tired.
She doesn't matter. She does matter, but not for this moment.
I'm going to wear my Shang-Chi jacket because, obviously.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to tell the listeners our spiel so we can get to the spoiling?
Yes. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow, like, and subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to us on, or leave us a review because we love to read your reviews. It makes us very, very happy. You can find us on social media. We are on Instagram and TikTok at the Incoherent Fangirl on Twitter as @IncoherentGirls because they have a character limits and I will never stop complaining about it.
Rude. Boo,
just
boo, boo.
5 more letters, please. That's all I need.
That's all we needed.
Like us on Facebook, The Incoherent Fangirl, or visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where we have a brand new blog that you can read.
Whoop, whoop.
I have posted my official spoiler-free review of Foul Lady Fortune by Chloe Gong. So if you're interested in hearing about that, please go ahead. And we'll use it for, you know, extended reviews when we have lots to say and can't do it in the podcast. Send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com with all your comments, questions, suggestions, hot takes, corrections, nice things you like to say about us so that we feel better about ourselves because we are very sensitive people.
But we have a disclaimer this week. Fragile fanboys need not apply.
No.
If we offend you in the next segment and you're a fragile fanboy, we don't care.
We're not here for it. We are not doing this for you. You are not our target audience. Thank you very much.
No. Goodbye.
Visit our sponsor, Here Comes the Nerd, at herecomesthenerd.com and use code FANGIRL for 20% off your first purchase.
You can also go to onceuponabookclub.com and use code MANDY10 for 10% off your order.
And you can also go, we have so many of these, it makes me so happy. You can visit noveltychess.com. That's novel like the book, tea like the drink, chess.com, and use code FANGIRL5 on your monthly subscription to get 5% off the lifetime of your subscription.
And last but certainly not least, go to grimoiretea.com and use code FANGIRLTEA without the I, so FANGRLTEA, for 10% off your order.
Yay.
And we've got good sponsors.
All of those will be linked in the episode description, along with the coupon codes associated with them. So if you were confused by anything we just said, it'll be listed there.
Yep.
And let's see. I missed one. Darn it. We were doing so good. We have a YouTube page. You can visit us on YouTube. Just look up The Incoherent Fangirl. All of our episodes are available to stream there with little graphic videos and whatnot. Eventually, we will use that for other things such as Patreon and bonus materials. Mm-hmm. But for now, you can just stream our episodes there if you, you know, enjoy your time on YouTube and like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it.
If you don't want to talk about spoilers and the Marvel and the Marvel of Madness, the Multiverse of Madness, then this is where we leave you, and we love you.
We love you. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned.
Come back to this episode if once you've seen it.
Once you've seen Multiverse of Madness, come back to this episode and watch the rest of the episode. You will not be disappointed. We have lots to say.
Yes, we do.
And if you haven't seen Multiverse of Madness, this is your warning. Spoilers are coming. Thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.
Like, all right, is everybody gone? Are they gone? Unless you're here for the multiverse. Spoiler, 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 spoiler alert. If you're still here, plenty of warning.
If you are still here, you are about to hear spoilers for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And if you do not stop playing right now, we cannot be held responsible for the things that you hear.
This is your fault.
Final warning. It's been a week. But still,
yeah.
This is your final warning.
Listen away.
Everything from here on out, Multiverse of Madness. Okay, let's get into this. I have one thing to say first. I actually have two things to say. I have two things to say, and nobody can convince me otherwise. The first, there is nobody that can convince me, not even Kevin Feige himself, that this movie was not released on Mother's Day purposefully. It is Multiverse of Madness. M-O. M-O-M.
Yeah.
A movie acronym abbreviated to MOM.
Yeah.
About a mother searching for her children was released on Mother's Day weekend. It is a Mother's Day movie. Nobody can convince me
otherwise. I thought you were going to say what I said last week, that if Wanda's a bad guy, we're a bad guy. I don't care. She does.
I mean, that too.
Whatever.
But the other thing I'm going to say is that this was an America Chavez origin story. This is not a Doctor Strange movie.
No, it was
nobody's convincing me otherwise.
I am furious. I get that they called it the Multiverse of Madness so that they could have it Mother's Day. Where was the multiverse? It was a background character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in the Multiverse of Madness.
He wasn't.
The multiverse just happened to be there.
The multiverse was not a character in this. It was not featured as much as we expected.
Why was it called that?
Because they're rude. They wanted it to be MOM, okay? They wanted to
literally we literally just watched the multiverse fracture multiple times.
Yep.
In multiple movies and shows. And he's in the Multiverse of Madness. No, he's not.
No, he's not. This was not a Doctor Strange movie. It was an America Chavez movie.
Yeah.
That's okay. All right. Well, I have quite a bit of notes. I'm sure you do.
I think
we
should take turns. Yeah. So that
okay. Let's start with the Illuminati. Let's start with there.
Why were they there?
Okay. So, yeah, first of all,
I mean, I get they had to introduce the faces so that we could see and maybe get comfortable with them because hopefully they'll be back. Mm-hmm. But was the Illuminati actually needed for the plot of this movie?
So, I feel a certain type of way about it. I feel like, yes, they were needed because they needed to illustrate Wanda's, like, villainy, in a sense.
Yeah.
They needed to illustrate how far she was willing. Because, yes, you see her, like, blow up Kamar-Taj, right? But you're not seeing her being violent, like, to these people. So
I'm a little bit pissed about that, though. About the Illuminati, specifically.
Okay.
Because, obviously, we know that Wanda's the most powerful Avenger, right?
Of course.
We know that she's strong and powerful. But we also know that Captain Marvel, who is Maria Rambeau.
Yes.
Iteration, which I screamed. She's super powerful, but can be obliterated like that.
Yeah.
Now, if we get a John Krasinski Mr. Fantastic movie, mm-hmm. we've seen you shredded like a bitch in 2 seconds.
Right.
And we're supposed to believe you're strong.
Right.
Like, I think that she maybe should have incapacitated them, not killed them all.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, who stops Wanda? Nobody's ever going to be strong enough
apparently.
To stop Wanda.
Yeah. So I want to go through each member because I feel like they each deserve a talking point. So first of all, Anson Mount as Black Bolt.
Listen,
love
that
Anson
used to
Mount.
Be my hall pass when he was Cullen Bohannon on Hell on Wheels. That freaking cowboy.
Adore Anson Mount. However, I will say I was kind of surprised that this was one of the characters they chose because Inhumans was trash.
Yeah,
it was trash garbage show. It was absolutely trash. And it wasn't trash because of Anson Mount. It was just terrible, terrible television show. And for them, this is our introduction in like the cinematic world, like movies to
Inhumans.
They had
to bring those faces.
They brought,
face.
Inhumans have officially been introduced into the Marvel world, which depending on who you talk to, they already have, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
I was kind of okay with her, the way that she killed him, though, because it makes sense.
Yeah.
You take the Black Bolt's mouth away and he tries to kill you, his brain's going to go to mush. That makes sense. I was okay with that one.
Right. It's an interesting choice to bring in. Like, if you're gonna introduce Inhumans, and I guess they had to do Black Bolt because of his powers, but I feel like if you had to introduce Inhumans, why not Daisy Johnson? Why not Daisy Johnson? Chloe Bennett coming back to the MCU would have slayed me. I would have died in that movie theater.
It may have been about who was available. It may have come down to something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like they're still kind of skirting that line, like whether or not they want to officially canonize Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But whether or not that's the case, it's a multiverse. It exists. They all exist together.
Right.
Whatever. But I don't know. I know Black Bolt in the comic is part of the Illuminati. And for the story that they told and having to kill 838 Strange with Black Bolt, it made sense. But also, Daisy could have just used her, like, Quake powers on him internally and done the same thing. But, you know, never mind. Whatever.
Fair.
Just me petitioning for Chloe Bennett to come back because I love love her. Because if Chloe Bennett comes back, then I also get Ming-Na Wen back. And yeah. And she is a queen. And I need them. Absolutely. And then we get Fitzsimmons. I need all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to just come back. Okay, so that is Black Bolt. We've talked about Black Bolt. Next.
Mm-hmm. I loved seeing his sweet little baby face, though. I love Even him though so I prefer much. Him yes. with a beard and like a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I do. I do love him. I loved seeing him. I squealed a little bit to myself. Yeah. I just...
Josh the character... was like, that's Anson Mount. I was like, wait a second. No, it's not. I gotta see his face again. And I was
what do you mean? I knew it from the second he showed up. I was like, oh my God, they're bringing...
Inhumans.
I was like, I didn't watch Inhumans. That wasn't his costume in Inhumans. I just know him.
Well, I didn't know he had played a Marvel character at all.
I forgot that it was him. I forgot that. Yeah. I kind of blocked Inhumans out of my brain. So when he showed up on screen, I was like, wait, no, what? I love Anson Mount. Yeah. So next to Black Bolt, we had Captain Carter.
And I didn't know that she was human trash in real life.
There are
so
people
I thought,
who are big fans.
I know you gagged. I know you gagged, but I not knowing anything, thought that I could do this all day thing was great. Now I'm like,
ugh. Okay, so in that moment when Wanda's talking and there's that pause right before she says it, I'm like, oh, she's going to say
she
it.
She spits the blood
she's
out.
Gonna,
and it's like,
she's going to say it. And she said it. And I like audibly wanted to vomit. And I was like, oh, luckily nobody was sitting around me, but I was just like, oh, God, I hate
it. I was even okay with her dying too. Like
I cheered.
No, but I mean from a realism standpoint of like, okay, yeah, Wanda could kill a super soldier or whatever you consider Captain America-esque person to be.
She doesn't have, all she has is like super strength, speed, and like healing, right?
So she's killed.
Generally pretty mortal. And she was chopped in half with her own shield. So
that could be believable.
That makes sense. But yeah, I honestly cheered when she got chopped in half. I know.
I didn't know until after when Karen sent me.
I went on a whole rant.
10 minutes of audio recording.
Well, I was driving home at the time, so I couldn't text you. But I was
I was like, I don't know what's the deal with Hayley Atwell. And you were like, we can talk about it on the podcast. And I was like, girl, we got to talk about Multiverse and Moon Knight. Like, we don't want our listeners to have to be sitting here for a 4-hour episode.
And so I was like, no, you're right. Hold on. Let me, I pulled out my phone and started. Here we go. But for anybody who doesn't know, Hayley Atwell is human trash. We can get into it another time.
You can Google it. We can make it a fangirl freestyle.
We can talk about it another time. It's just this episode is going to be real long. So we will. Right. We can talk about it.
So we'll put
that
on pause. That was just a funny moment that you sent me 10 minutes of voice memos about her.
Catching me up to speed. I very adamantly dislike Hayley Atwell. And I didn't know any of that information until after Endgame, which I guess is great because I didn't have any of those like things. Negative but now thought. Moving forward, I'm just like, ugh. Like when she showed up in the first episode of What If, I was just like, ugh, a whole episode with this bitch. Why? And everybody was so excited. And I was like, ugh.
So
right,
we're
anyways,
okay that she goes.
Moving on.
That's fine.
Moving on. Let's do the cameos. Let's do John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
I'm thrilled. I'm into his doppelganger. We've been talking, like Josh and I have been like, he's got to be Mr. Fantastic. Like you've heard the rumors. Like, yeah. And so we were kind of expecting
he said that he would really like to play Mr. Fantastic if the opportunity came up.
It was straight up embarrassed our nieces in the theater because we are both like screaming just like we were when you see Murdoch Kane in No Way Home. It's like we screamed like idiots.
I lost it in No Way Home when Murdoch's Kane showed up and nobody else reacted.
No, our whole theater screamed.
I was so upset. I heard the two guys sitting next to me, one of them was like, who's that? And the other one was like, that's Daredevil. And that was the entire conversation. No. And I was just like, get out. I didn't actually say that, but I was just like, how dare you? Put some respect on that man's name.
We got John Krasinski. So I screamed, same reaction. I'm thrilled. I want him. I want Blunt to be here. I want her to come
in. I want Blunt as Sue Storm. I want Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. I love them. I'm pissed
about the way he died.
Yeah.
He just takes two steps.
I will say that I appreciated Wanda for checking that his kids would not be orphaned.
That's true.
She was looking out for the kids, so you know, it's okay. But yeah,
we're eventually, hopefully, we'll get a Mr. Fantastic movie or a recreation of the God. Well,
there's the Fantastic Four. But we don't know anything about it. But
so hopefully it's him. But now I've watched you be shredded by one person.
Right.
So am I supposed to believe fair, that you can go up against this or that or this or that?
To be fair, it's the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Who stands a chance against the Scarlet Witch?
Yeah.
You know? So.
I don't like that, though. I feel like everyone should have something, you know, that makes them killable, makes them defeatable. That's not them.
Themselves. See, here's the thing. Now we know. Just bring her kids and have her see, you know, like, and then she sees that they're scared of her, and then she'll like go off and do her thing. But yeah, so John Krasinski, and then
Rim.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I will say it was a complete missed opportunity because, hear me out, Maria Rambeau, right? Amazing. Captain Marvel, loved it. Absolutely. However, they missed an opportunity when Wanda and Maria were fighting for Wanda to say something like, I see where your daughter gets her fight from, or something along those lines. Because
if they said that and cut it, I bet that's in a cutscene somewhere. You can't tell me not one of them thought of that.
Marvel, if you're listening, if this was not sort of line, I am here. I'm a writer.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I can help. I'm a writer and I'm a fan. I can help. But if it was a complete missed opportunity for her to not say anything about Monica in that moment or make any allusions to Monica in that moment. Like, I feel like anything to be like something about her daughter to like throw her off her game
that would have made her death make more sense to me.
Yes.
But Captain Marvel's is the one that I am sticking on. I am pissed. You could have incapacitated her. Yes. And I would have bought it, but she could hold her own in our Earth against Thanos himself with all of the Infinity Gauntlets, making him a controller of time and space and all of it. But Wanda can just get rid of her like that. I don't
know.
Okay. I love Wanda. I'm not talking shit on her. I just feel like Captain
Story-wise, it did not have
died. It didn't make sense.
No. It would have made more sense if she had like incapacitated her in some way, surprised her in some way by bringing up Monica. I was waiting for her to say something about Monica and throw her, like cause her to pause and whatever. And she didn't. And then she was just crushed by
maybe
whatever.
A few minutes later after when Wanda's chasing them through like the sewer, whatever, trying to get to see Captain Marvel in the background right before Wanda, you know, is gone.
Yeah.
To see that she's still here. You didn't kill Captain Marvel.
Right.
Because I don't know. That's the one I'm stuck on. Like that is just not saying that she's more powerful than Wanda. I'm saying that if there's anybody who would have been a little more evenly matched.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been able to kill her in 10 seconds like you did.
Not like that. It was a little bit. Yeah. And then I don't care about Mordo. I never cared about Mordo.
Not really.
That was really annoying. And then Patrick Stewart.
See,
That one hurt.
In the beginning or in the end of WandaVision where she's got the Darkhold and she's reading, I don't know why, because I knew she was going to, you know, she's going to become the Scarlet Witch, and she talks about how, you know, she'll see her kids again. We'll say hello again.
Yeah.
She's going to be an X-Man, or she's supposed to be an X-Man.
Her origin story is so interesting in the comics.
Yeah.
Because there's like a storyline where she's a mutant, and that's where she gets her powers, and she's Magneto's kid, but she's not actually a mutant. She was created by Mephisto. I don't know. It's very convoluted. I'll tell you once I read all her comics.
Okay, good.
Because I got the little omnibus, so it should tell me something at least. But yeah, I feel like she's I mean, she and the X-Men and mutants are very much entwined. I felt like if anything, Xavier was gonna do more than he did.
Yeah, be there longer or help more in some way than just reaching out his hand. I mean, that's another one that I
And
struggle with, her just being able to
it
like
hurt.
that. Yeah.
It hurt seeing Patrick Stewart have his neck broken. It hurt real
Yeah,
bad. It hurt
agreed.
real, real bad. Like, that is, I protect that man at all costs. I love that man.
Forever. He's a
Yeah,
treasure.
he is a treasure. But yeah, that one hurt. I will say the Illuminati annoyed me because they were like talking about how 838 Strange was so arrogant and this and that. And then Maria has the audacity to be like, "We can handle your little witch." Like, bitch, it's the Scarlet Witch. Do you know the myth? Like, talk about arrogance. No offense, but then
Y'all
that
all must be
also
on
that
this
almost
reality.
that's very I feel like that's very on par with Carol Danvers though. You know,
She's
like
cocky,
I feel like
but
they have the same kind of personality. But yeah, it's just you can't talk about him being all arrogant and then be just as
turn around
arrogant
and do the
yourself.
exact same
Do the
thing and
exact same thing.
get yourself and your entire group killed. Josh was like, in that reality, he was like, I want to know how Christine, a doctor, just suddenly gets this job working, studying the multiverse after Strange's funeral. Like, he's like, that seems kind of off-putting to me. Like, she's a doctor, not a scientist
Scientist. Yeah,
or
that's
a
true.
physicist or something. He's like, so that just, I don't, he's
Was
like, I
she a
don't know about
doctor
that.
in that universe? I don't remember.
She might not have been
Maybe that's
originally. Maybe we're just looking at it as isn't she always a doctor,
right. We're
kind
looking
of.
at it like, yeah, but maybe she wasn't a doctor. Like, I don't remember if that she ever said like she
I
was
don't think. Well,
doctor.
she said, the only thing she said was, I was interested in this, or I joined this
Yeah.
at your funeral,
Well, maybe it
which
was like
can't
a
have been that long ago.
it well, maybe it's like a research thing because doctors, there
Maybe.
are doctors who don't practice, they just research.
Oh yeah, I mean,
So
we have a
maybe,
friend who is
yeah.
a doctor of physics,
Yeah. Well, no, I
but
mean
I
like a
don't know.
medical doctor. There are medical
Yeah.
doctors who don't practice. They
Yeah.
just do research. So maybe she's like she like switched after.
What does the multiverse have to do with
I
medical
don't
research?
Well, I don't
I
know.
guess what it
Maybe
does on your body?
it depends on what how she was approached, I think.
Yeah.
Because she did say it was after Strange's funeral, so maybe they like I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember. But yeah. So that's the Illuminati.
I did feel bad for I mean, she's beautiful in everything. She's another one. Rachel McAdams. If anybody tells me anything bad about her, I will just die because she's so beautiful and she always has been. But they made her, I kind of like got Pioneer Woman vibes
Oh, really?
in the, is it 818?
838 in the
838.
jumps in her jumpsuit?
No, like the hair,
Oh,
the
okay.
bright red hair, and it just like, I don't know, something about it was like, are they trying to make her look like Pioneer Woman?
I was like, I
They're
love the
succeeding.
jumpsuit.
No, it was the hair. It was the
Okay.
hairstyle. Anyway, that was just a weird aside. I was just like,
You're
oh, this
like,
hair.
I don't know how to feel about that. Okay, I can understand that,
Yeah.
but she's always gonna be gorgeous.
I have something that I'm confused about,
Okay.
and I know the answer, but it still bothers me.
Okay.
In all of the multiverse, all of the specific universes that she looks at, Vision is never in one of them.
That was gonna be one of my things.
And I
I have
know
a
it's
whole
because
thing.
Vision will know it's not his Wanda, but you would think that if she wanted true happiness and to say hello again,
Okay.
she'd go and find Vision and her family, her whole family.
So I have bits and pieces to say about this. As a parent, once you become a parent, your kids become like the most important thing in your life, right?
I mean,
And
yeah.
so she has this single-minded goal to be like, I need to get back to my kids. And then maybe it's just like, at this point, all I care about is the kids. Maybe if I want to think about that later, we can look for Vision later. We can go on a family adventure and look for Vision.
Man, because I
But
just rewatched WandaVision. She puts the kids to bed. She has a conversation with Vision where they talk about, we keep saying goodbye, but that makes me know that we will say hello again.
Right. But that's also pre-Darkhold Wanda.
Yeah, that's true.
She's been influenced by the Darkhold, and she's, you know, and so she's on this mission, this to go for her children. So
Right.
I think my thought of it is that once you have children, they're the most important thing in your life. And then she was like, let me get them first. And then once we get settled and we're all happy, we can go on an adventure together to find dad. But that was my
Right. Well, maybe.
one of the things that I wrote down was there a blip on Earth 838? Like they fought Thanos, but did they have the whole blip situation that happened? And if so, I need somebody to explain the math. Because Billy and Tommy in WandaVision are 10 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And we know in WandaVision, they just aged quickly.
Yeah.
But in 838, we're assuming that it's not WandaVision. It's something different that happened because she has her kids. She's happy with her kids, right? So it's not, mm-hmm. she didn't create a hex and make her kids from scratch or what, make them up or whatever.
Right.
So Wanda and Vision meet in Age of Ultron, 2015. They fall in love in 2016.
Yeah.
Okay. So if Vision is the father of these children, they fall in love in 2016. 10 years later is 2026. However, Endgame takes place in 2023. So if these timelines are parallel, then these children are too old.
Right.
I need somebody to make this math make sense. And I realize this is the stupidest thing to focus on.
Oh, I mean.
But the math does, because I'm assuming that these children are also 10 years old because they're the same children as we see in WandaVision,
right,
who are 10 years old, right?
Right?
So if they're 10 years old, Vision and Wanda fall in love in 2016. 10 years later is 2026, at minimum 2026, but probably a little bit later because...
And they didn't have the... They didn't get pregnant the second they met.
Exactly. So, I mean, the math doesn't math. I need somebody to math the math for me because it doesn't. I looked up all these years too because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't insane. But yeah, no, it makes no sense. It hurts my soul. The math, like, logic side
math
of me is just like, the math is not mathing. It's hurting me. but yeah, so that was, but yeah, I just need to know, like, was there a blip in 838? Did Wanda fight during the battle? Where's Vision?
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
Wanda, does Wanda even have, does it ever show her using powers in 838?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah. When, once Wanda gets America and sends her back to 616, and she leaves 838's body, 838 goes, my boys, and then flies herself up to the door.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe she doesn't even have magic. But yeah, you're right. I remember that.
I spent, up until that point, I was like, does she even have magic?
Yeah.
And then that was the moment.
She seemed like a norm. And maybe she mutes it for the boys because she doesn't have a need for using it.
Right, right.
Other than, like, she could heat her coffee or something, you know.
Right, exactly.
Mundane. But like, Bewitched.
She was very, like, domestic housewife, like, happy, you know? So, I don't know. I have questions. There's so many questions about it. Like, I don't know why I need to know all these things about 838. It's not our universe, but I want to know because it makes no sense.
But we've had to sit through and watch it.
I watched it and I have questions. Yeah. And let's see. What else did I write down? Oh, I wrote down, poor Charlie never got to meet Steven. At the wedding. Just the most... I was watching it and I was like... And Christine was like, oh, was it a friend or her nephew or whoever? Charlie? She was like, oh, there's Charlie. He wants to meet you. He's a big fan. And then immediately afterward, he has to go save America. And I was like, oh, poor Charlie. Like, I couldn't
focus. And then
Christine's
standing there acting like Strange did it. Like, it's his
fault. Like, on purpose.
Like, yeah, he called the alien here.
Right, exactly. Come on.
I mean, now we know it's not an alien, but, like, at the time, it's like, really? Really, girl? I'm kind of ill that they talk about the Book of Vishanti the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 10 seconds, it's gone, too.
It's gone. I want to know.
Like, it was like... Build up. And Captain Marvel's dead. Build up. The book is gone.
Yeah.
It's like,
I want to know because, so obviously there's multiple Darkholds across the multiverse, right? Each universe has their own Darkhold because we see 616 gets destroyed, but then when they're in that melting universe where he meets the Dark Strange who has the Darkhold, so obviously there's multiple Darkhold. But is there only one Book of Vishanti? Because they went back to the same place.
It was like stored in like the base between the multiverse, right?
Yeah. It's like
there's more than one because it's gone.
I don't understand it because if you have multiple Darkholds, right, across each universe, then you would think
you should
have multiple Vishantis, but there weren't because they went back to the same place. So that was weird. And then I took offense to Wong being relegated to like the funny Asian sidekick.
Yes. Literally my thing says Sorcerer Supreme was made out to be kind of a bitch. That's a shitty thing to do to Wong. Scarlet Witch is more powerful than all of the people at Kamar-Taj. You just leave Wong hanging off the side of a freaking mountain.
The amount of times I thought Wong died in this. Yeah. They, like, They like built, they like teased you. They like did it on purpose. I swear to God, they did it on purpose to be like, oh, Wong's dead. Oh, just kidding. He's not. Oh, he's dead.
He's
No, he's not.
hanging. He's hanging there.
Like,
He's got to climb
I
his way
cannot.
up.
Okay, but seriously, like, he is the sorcerer fucking supreme, and he's been relegated to like this funny little Asian sidekick man. Like,
I'm just
the
an
little.
idiot.
It's such
No,
a
he's
trope.
not.
And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? I am offended by this. It made
And
me
even in
angry.
it was in No Way Home, they kind of make him out to be kind of a dick too.
Yeah.
Like he's too serious and blah blah blah. And then now he's just a quirky idiot who,
I
no,
do
he's
have something.
powerful as hell.
He is powerful as hell. But I do have something to say about Wong being Sorcerer Supreme because
He got it on a technicality.
well, that too, but whatever. Whatever.
They
But
say it all the time.
America says that Steven is, you know, the Stevens that she's met are the Sorcerer Supreme of their universes, right?
So they must not have had a blip.
And so the thing is, if Steven's the Sorcerer Supreme of those universes, the Steven that we see in the beginning betrays America, right? Because he's like thinking, oh, the multiverse is at
One
stake,
person's
whatnot.
death
Right. And
accounts
so
for
then
trillions.
we come to 838, where the Illuminati are like, well, all strangers are the same. But then you get to the end, right? Where they've got Wanda like captured or whatnot. And Wong is the one who says, you need to take her power. Steven is the one who is like, no, she can do this. Let her do this. So it's not, I think it's not Steven Strange. I think it's the Sorcerer Supreme
It's the
that is
Sorcerer
the one
Supreme who has
who
the
has that mindset.
oversight
Yeah,
of
because it's
preserve the whole.
right. The sacrifice of one is okay to save
To save the whole.
trillions. So I feel like that was a little bit of like a redeeming thing for Steven, like to be for him to be like, no, I don't think like that. Even though I still feel like Steven didn't have too much character growth, but
He didn't. I mean, isn't that like a Doctor Strange thing though? He's always gonna be like an arrogant, like
maybe.
a, or not like a Stephen Strange thing. It's gonna be he's arrogant. Nobody can tell him anything. He's not gonna grow because he thinks he's, you know,
He's the shit.
he's the shit. His shit don't stink. I'm with you though. I don't think that was a Doctor Strange movie at all.
Hi friends, this is Karen. I just wanted to hop on and let you know that what you just heard of the Multiverse of Madness talk was just part one. Our talk went a little longer than I anticipated, and the episode was getting a little long, so I cut it in half, and part two will be coming in the next episode, so stay tuned.